If, therefore, the living entity again associates with the path of unrighteousness, influenced by sensually minded people engaged in the pursuit of sexual enjoyment and the gratification of the palate, he again goes to hell as before. Purport, it has been explained that the conditioned soul is put into the Andha Tamisra and Tamisra hellish conditions, and after suffering there he gets a hellish body like the dogs or hogs. After several such births, he again comes into the form of a human being. How the human being is born is also described by Kapiladeva. The human being develops in the mother's abdomen and suffers there and comes out again. After all these sufferings, if he gets another chance in a human body and wastes his valuable time in the association of persons who are concerned with sexual life and palatable dishes, then naturally he again glides down to the same Andha Tamisra and Tamisra hells. This could be done somewhere else, couldn't it? Generally, people are concerned with the satisfaction of the tongue and the satisfaction of the genitals. That is material life. Material life means eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy with no concern for understanding one's spiritual identity and the process of spiritual advancement. Since materialistic people are concerned with the tongue, belly, and genitals, if anyone wants to advance in spiritual life, he must be very careful about associating with such people. To associate with such materialistic men is to commit purposeful suicide in the human form of life. It is said, therefore, that an intelligent man should give up such undesirable association and should always mix with saintly persons. When he is in association with saintly persons, all his doubts about this spiritual expansion of life are eradicated, and he makes tangible progress on the path of spiritual understanding. It is also sometimes found that people are very much addicted to a particular type of religious faith. Hindus, Muslims, and Christians are faithful in their particular type of religion, and they go to the church, temple, or mosque, but unfortunately they cannot give up the association of persons who are too much addicted to sex life and satisfaction of the palate. Here is clearly said that one may officially be a very religious man, but if he associates with such persons, then he is sure to slide down to the darkest region of hell. The movements of the living entities is this chapter's title. It has been described up to now how the person who is sinful due to his sinful activities has to suffer terribly in hell. Then he'll take birth in the lower species, which is also equivalent to being in hell. It's a hellish condition. And then he comes to the human form of life. And you may think, all right, that's very good. Now he came to the human form of life, now everything's okay again. But this verse states that if he again goes down the same path of associating with asadbhi, those who are unrighteous, those who are shishnodar parayan, those who are attached to the genitals and the belly, they go down to the, again and again, murha janmani janmani, mama prayava kontaya. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, tanaham dushitakruran sangsareshu naradhavam. Those who are envious, the lowest of mankind, they glide down to the lowest species. They do not attain me. We may think that, well, I'm a devotee, so I'm okay. But Lord Chaitanya warns us of the same thing. Shishnoda parayan, Krishna nahi pai. Those who are attached to the tongue, tongue, belly, genitals, they all go together. Tongue and belly, stuffing the belly. Shishnoda parayan, Krishna nahi pai. Those who are attached to the satisfaction of the tongue. Jiva lala se jai iti uti dhai. Shishnoda parayan, Krishna nahi pai. Those who are, in the name of bhakti, busy going here and there to find some nice foods and stuffing their bellies, then as a result, they also become attached to the activities of the genital and they don't attain Krishna. This is material life. Seems very nice. But the result is terrible. Now in India, I would think that probably, definitely in Maharashtra, a majority of the population are meat eaters. Whereas it used to be, the majority were non-meat eaters. Hare Krishna, we just lost the sound. Kya hua? He's adjusting the sound. Now we have no sound. All right. It would be a good idea to set the sound before the class. Every time someone comes and adjusts it. I see. The majority are meat eaters. Prabhupada noted this. He said, Prabhupada said, I've seen on the plane, when Prabhupada would go on the plane, people there would be eating veg or non-veg. They come around. Actually, in those days, there was no veg or non-veg. It was all non-veg. Maybe on Air India, it was all veg. But now on Air India, it's also veg or non-veg. Even in the trains, it used to be that on the trains, they had this meals on the long-distance trains. It all used to be vegetarian. Then gradually, it was introduced non-veg. And on some trains, like the Navjivan Express, the Madras to Ahmedabad, it was mainly Marwaris, doing their business in Chennai, they'd go to Ahmedabad and then take another train up to Rajasthan. So that was all vegetarian. But now you see the Marwaris on the train, they go in families, they're all got meat in their tiffins, openly. So Prabhupada, he noted for that little bit of meat, see the main meal is some chapatis or some rice, some dal, some meat. For that little bit of meat, they have to suffer so much. They think, I'm becoming strong. I'm becoming healthy. But they have to suffer. The karmic reaction is there. People don't believe it. They don't like to believe it. Actually, in the Western countries, the whole culture is so much one of sense enjoyment that they try to hide the suffering, just like in the story of Shakya Singh, who later became known as Gautam Buddha. His father tried to hide from him the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. But when he found out, he went off and meditated and became Buddha. That's the story as it goes. So in the same way, we find in the Western countries that people, they like to hide away. People who are the old people, they're put away in homes and they die very miserably. No one cares for them. They may have children, but the children don't care for them because the parents never really cared for the children either. Parents, they're out there busy working or making a career or going to some party or something like this. They're too busy to look after the children. And the children, they have TV and sports and this and that. So the children don't care for the parents and the parents die in some nursing home where no one cares for them. Officially, someone cares for them, but actually there's no love. It's just they're lying and in old age, often they can't control their urine or stool and they'll be urinating just here and there. They'll be lying in their bed with urine. No one will change it. It's a horrible condition. The old age, disease, death, horrible condition. Now it seems that so many Prabhupada disciples now are just passing away all the time. We're always getting news, so-and-so, I didn't even know the name, some devotees, some godbrothers, passing away. So that's normal. We're thinking, oh, surprising, so many people passing away. But it's not really, because everyone dies. It has to happen, as sure as death. But for those who are not in Krishna consciousness, It's a black future. So people in the modern world is, particularly the modern world is dedicated to enjoying sensuously and grossly. The material world is anyway dedicated to material enjoyment, but there was a time when people did so in a pious way. They would be religious and restricted. You might be surprised to know that even in the Western countries, it used to be that most women used to cover their heads with a scarf. Even in our generation, we saw the older women used to, still in some places, which are not much westernized yet, some parts of Russia, the women, they cover their heads with a scarf. There's some idea of shyness and chastity was there. There was no idea of divorce. There was no such thing. So that was there even in the Western countries, because people had some idea of what they called morality, human values, religiousness, piety. But that's gone. The Western countries are fully dedicated to gross sensual enjoyment. And they like to hide away. They put in some homes away from public view. Dying people, old people, diseased people, slaughterhouses here in India, less civilized country. You see, they'll kill the animals on the street, especially if you go to any Muslim country on Eid. They'll be killing the animals in public. But in the Western countries, it's kept, the slaughterhouses are kept at a long distance from the towns, because they want people to be in the illusion that meat is just something that comes in a plastic packet in a shop. They don't see the suffering that's connected with that. They have advertisements that, what is that? McDonald's hamburgers come from flowers. There's flowers in the field, and the hamburger, which is a kind of meat preparation, comes from a flower. But it doesn't come from a flower, it comes from a slaughtered cow. So in this way, they want to make an illusion that everything is very nice. But there is a severe karmic punishment awaiting them, not only awaiting them, but even at the present time, despite their having all facilities for gross sense enjoyment, people are miserable. They're very unhappy. They don't feel happy. There's so much mental disturbance. That is normal, because they don't know what the goal of life is. It's the conundrum of the material world that the more you try to enjoy your senses, thinking that this will bring happiness, the more we're in this mindset that sense enjoyment will bring us happiness, the more we suffer, grossly and subtly. Grossly means we get sinful reactions to come, and even at present there are sinful reactions in the, just like we see in the world. Within our lifetime, we've seen that it's what used to be unusual. Earthquakes, tsunami, plane crashes, riots, they've become very normal. And there's all kinds of diseases that were not very common, which have become very common. There was no AIDS. Cancer, heart disease, all these things have increased more and more. People are shocked. What is this war in Iraq? Americans and others are fighting there. When Prabhupada was preaching in America, there was a similar war in Vietnam, which from the detached political point of view, America really had no business in Vietnam. They had no business in Iraq either. But Prabhupada said that this slaughter is ordained. that young men, they had flown out a long way from their home country. And so many of them, they come back in cloth bags. That means dead bodies. Why is that? Srila Prabhupada said that because they are slaughtering animals in the slaughterhouse, that the flowers of your country, the youth, they have to go and they have to be slaughtered. It has to be. It's a karmic reaction. So how to stop the violence in Iraq? Of course, there's violence all over the world. But it's not so much a matter of making a peace march or sending petitions to Mr. Bush or trying to reason with him or making cartoons of him in the newspaper. This might even superficially affect peace, but then the reaction will come in another way. The real way to stop the slaughter in Iraq is to stop the slaughter in America. Millions of animals, birds are killed every year. Here in India, it must be, I would imagine, at least 1 million chickens are killed every day. If you consider that the population is more than 1,000 million, and definitely more than one chicken per 1,000 persons is eaten every day in India, that means there must be more than 1 million chickens killed every day in India alone. This bird disease, what was that, bird flu? In Maharashtra, they said so many lakhs of chickens had to be destroyed. And you're thinking, oh, so many, they're killed. Anyway, they would have been killed. It wasn't because of the bird flu. They were destined to be slaughtered anyway. And we wonder why there is no peace in society. Because of sinful reactions. Individually, collectively, we are suffering sinful reactions. And as Srila Prabhupada notes in the purport, even people are superficially religious, Hindus, Muslims, and Christians, but Prabhupada says they're also going to hell. If they're addicted, if they're also Shishnoda Parayana, if they're addicted to satisfying their senses, then they're also going to hell, even though they may be superficially religious. I remember in my childhood going to the church on Sunday. And everyone would, after 1 hour in the church, everyone would come out, and immediately the men would light up their cigarettes and talk with each other. Then they'd go over the road to the bar or the pub. This word has entered Indian English, pub. Then everyone would go home, and Sunday special is roast beef. Beef is a little expensive, so mostly we only eat it on Sunday. So people thought, we're very good people, we go to church every Sunday. But due to lack of knowledge of the laws of nature, even though people are superficially pious, they're committing grossly sinful activities which cause them to suffer. So what is required is to give spiritual knowledge. It's shocking. The lack of spiritual knowledge in the world is shocking. The people are fighting Sunni and Shia Muslims and Christians and Muslims, but none of them know anything about God, actually. And even if you see a Hindu society, now Sunday night I was giving a lecture in Petlad, which is a small town in Gujarat, public program, and most of the important people of that small town were present. So I was talking about, you know, things like the going beyond the modes of material nature and all. And then after the lecture, one devotee told me that the people couldn't understand your lecture, it's too difficult. And then what are you talking about? They never heard of the three modes of material nature. These are all, you know, well-educated people. He said they never heard, because the modern, they just listen to the modern swamis who they tell them something about Ayurveda, what to eat, what not to eat, and tell a few stories, Bhagavan this, Bhagavan that, Tum Sab Bhagavan Ho, and this, that's it. There's no even pretense at giving spiritual instruction. I'd quote some verse, Savadhaman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam, and not give the translation, presuming I gave it once, and then and he said, well, people, they don't know, they have no idea. Well, superficially, they'll learn, Yada yada hi dharmasya paritranaya sadunam and kamanya vadikaraste, and that's it. That's the full extent of most people's spiritual knowledge. The people are completely ignorant. And even after the lecture, someone's coming and saying that, well, Ram was born 2,000 years ago, he was arguing with me. What is this nonsense? People are so ignorant that in some ways it might seem that becoming a Christian, there's so much conversion going on, in some ways it might be some kind of advancement, because at least they get some kind of spiritual education. I'm not advocating it, but maybe one reason that people are converting, of course the main reason is financial, it's by bribery. They give them financial inducements to convert, but then they take the trouble to train them in the Bible and in Islam. They have the what's that called? The school, the masjid, and the school for the madrasa. Yeah. They take the trouble to train the boys. I mean, so, but in modern Hinduism, there's no such thing. There's no idea among the Hindus that we should train our children in anything religious. So actually now the summer season is coming, and at least in ISKCON in India, in many centers, they have children's programs in the summer. So that's good. ISKCON should take this up, giving spiritual education to the children. Teach them what are the pastimes of Krishna, shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. They should teach them all these things. Otherwise, out of ignorance, people are living sinful lives. This Mayavad, how they're preaching that everything's all the same, and people, they don't know what is punya, what is pap. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, it's his purport to the famous verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bharata bhumite hoila manusha janma ja janma shata kari karo para upaka, which I hope you all understand. Hope we don't have to translate that here. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that even today in India, people are afraid of the four sinful activities of meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. They know these things are wrong, and despite propaganda from the leaders, they're afraid to engage in these activities. But times have changed since Prabhupada wrote that, and people are not afraid. People are not afraid to engage. They don't know that it's sinful. Most people now, if you tell them that meat eating is sinful, they're like, what? What's sinful? You know, since I can remember, my mother's been giving me meat. You're telling me my mother's sinful? So they don't know. They think they'll openly, so-called respectable people will openly discuss about drinking, and they're saying that now my company shifted me from Gujarat to Maharashtra, so it's good, at least I don't have to go to, what's that place, Diu to drink. I can drink openly here. They're just shameless. These are the so-called respectable people. They don't know. Pravritim cha nivritim cha janana vidurasuraha. According to what Lord Krishna says, people don't know, people who do not know what is proper behavior and what is improper behavior, they are demons. They're asura, means they didn't. Sura means those who drank the Somaras, so that's the wine of the heavenly planets. And the Asura means they didn't drink it, so, but they're drinking whiskey and beer and hooch and daru and all kinds of things. So, and they think, very nice. But the result, they have to suffer terribly. Why is that? Because human life is meant for God realization. Labdva sudur labamidang bahusam bhavante. Manusham artadam anityam apihadhira turnam yatetin apatetanu mritya yavam nishrayasaya. Vishaya khalu sarvatasyat. This such an important verse from Bhagavata. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I'm dedicated to repeating, to telling people this verse again and again throughout my life, that having obtained this very rare human form of life, after many, many births, one should understand that this human form of life, although it's temporary, it's very, very valuable. And therefore, one should dedicate one's life to understanding that we have to die soon. We won't be in this body very long. Understanding that we should act in such a way in this life that we don't have to take birth again. And if we think, let me enjoy myself, I should enjoy my senses, then we should consider that we've already done that. That opportunity is there in every species of life. We've done it, and if we want to try and enjoy our senses in this human form of life, then again we'll get the opportunity to do so in other species. But that is not good. So we should consider how to get free from this horrible cycle of birth and death. One godbrother was telling me that he was just standing in some places many years ago, and he was at ISKCON Hyderabad, and some person looking like a yogi came up to him and took his hand and told him so many things that in your previous life you were also a sadhu, but you made some offense to your guru, therefore you had to get born again. And he didn't take him very seriously. Anyone can take your hand and say so many things. But then again, some years later, he went for this, what's this? This, they do this prashna, this brigu. What's that called? Brigu? Sanghita. So again, the same thing was said. All the answers are there. So he thought, oh, I made some offense to my guru in a previous life, therefore I'm here in this. Then he became very determined that I have to act in such a way that I don't take birth again. I want to get out of this material world. I also had such a realization once. Time for that realization again. That this was, it must have been September 1977 at ISKCON New Delhi. That time in a rented house in Lajpat Nagar. So I had a huge abscess and my whole arm was swollen up and it was extremely painful. So I went to the local hospital, government hospital, and there some guy, I don't think he was a doctor, got some dirty knife and cut it open without any anesthetic. And it was extremely painful. I thought I was going to die from the pain. And then I was walking back after they slapped a bandage on it. Well, you know, all the pus came out and all flies all flying around. And, it was a horrible scene. But the pain was so intense I could hardly see the road or anything. And then I thought that everyone's getting this kind of pain. Birth after birth, everyone is suffering this kind of pain. We have a little so-called enjoyment, but then everyone has to suffer extreme pain. So I thought I'd better be serious and do what is required to get free from this material world. Otherwise, I have to get this and worse again and again and again. So it's a good impetus. Pain and suffering for one who is in knowledge is a good impetus to get free. Now I forgot that I'm leading a comfortable life. Now we require some slaps. Slaps from Maya. If we ask, it will come. We have to be careful what we pray for. We may pray, "Oh Lord, please give me the..." Like Kunti Devi was praying. Vipada santu tasashva tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apuna bhava darshanam. We can pray like that. That please give me the difficulties by which I can remember you, because by remembering you I won't see repeated birth and death, which is the mother of all difficulties. But do we dare to pray like that? Do we actually dare? Please Lord, give me cancer, give me operation, give me infamy. Do we dare to pray like that? One has to be really dedicated to Krishna, that please do whatever is required. Take away all my attachments. It's very painful. Medical analysis again, just like if you have some bandage, they take it off because of the hairs, it becomes very painful. So this material attachments, to get free from that, it seems very painful. That's the story is there of King Indra, who was cursed to become a hog. And then they wanted him back as Indra, but he didn't want to go because he was attached to his hog family. And then all the hog family members were killed. He was suffering to see them killed, but then he realized, "Oh, I'm Indra. I should go back and be Indra." So we're attached to that which is not in our self-interest. Apaswarata parayana. We're attached. It is the insane condition of being attached to that which is directly against our own real self-interest. So if we're intelligent, we can pray to Krishna, "Please take away my material attachments." Now Nrsimha Chaturdashi is coming. So we can pray to Lord Nrsimhadev. We can pray any day, but especially Nrsimha Chaturdashi is coming. We can pray to him to please destroy the material attachments in our hearts. Just like Hiranyakashipu, what a nasty demon. He wanted to kill Prahlad. So we have so many sinful desires within our hearts, by which we, even though we may have taken up bhakti, but we want to kill that by indulging in various forms of sense gratification. Hiranyakashipu is very powerful. Nrsimhadev killed him. So for us it may seem very difficult to, how can we overcome these material attachments which are the cause of our downfall? We can pray to Lord Nrsimhadev that you destroy the dirty desires within my heart. So hearing about the condition of the persons who are not in Krishna consciousness, how they have to suffer, gives impetus to the devotees. It's not a very high level, but we may not be on a very high level. It gives us impetus to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise I have to suffer. And it should also give us impetus that let us try to spread this Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others who are destined to suffer terribly due to not knowing of their relationship with Krishna, not knowing that they are performing sinful activities. They don't even know that it's sinful. Of course, that doesn't excuse one by not knowing. One should know. But the condition of modern society is that people don't know. Even they may be superficially religious, but they don't know what is sin, what is piety, what is the purpose of life. And thus they are leading extremely sinful lives. Nunang pramatah kurutevi karma yadindriya pritiya apinotina sadhu manya yata atmano yam asan api kleshada asadeha. They are crazy people because they engage in activities which force them to take birth again and again and suffer again and again. This is not proper, but they don't know. Therefore, lokasya janato vidvāṁs chakre sātvata saṅhitaṁ. People don't know that they can get relief from the suffering of material life by taking to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Vyāsadeva has compiled the Vedic literature to give that knowledge, and Vyāsadeva's manifestation in the modern world, Srila Prabhupada has given this knowledge in his books so that people can take advantage of that and be freed from the terrible cycle of suffering which they throw themselves into just by being a normal person in the modern age. So hearing about this is an impetus for a devotee to be serious in his Krishna consciousness and also to distribute these knowledge in Srila Prabhupada's books for the benefit of others. That's all I'm going to say now, unless there are any questions about this. Even after knowing, we're not able to follow. Janiya shunya bisha kainu. Hari hari bifale janama goainu manusha janama paya Radha Krishna na bhajiya janiya shunya bisha kainu. Even though we know, we don't do. So come to the class and hear and get some inspiration. That's why the classes are there. So we should get uplift, inspiration, guidance to keep us on the right path. If we don't come regularly, associate with devotees, chant, hear, engage in service, take prasadam, then where is the Krishna consciousness? How can we expect to be Krishna conscious? It's the Sankirtan movement. Everyone has to come together. These temples are meant for spiritual life, for giving spiritual life, for sharing the spiritual life. Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge. In Kali Yuga, we get strength from association. In Satya Yuga, for spiritual life, it's best to go off to go and live in a cave or in the jungle and do tapasya and dhyan alone. But in Kali Yuga, we get strength by association. So come. If you hear, if we discuss these things, we get some energy, isn't it? Me too. I mean, I'm not saying you should come and listen to me and I will inspire you, but I'm also, by hearing this and discussing it, I'm also thinking, yeah, I have to be more serious. So I'm speaking to myself also. So this is the process. The process of Krishna consciousness, if we follow it, then we become uplifted. If we don't, then we don't become uplifted. You have to follow, that's all. You'll get strength. So you're living close to Mira Road Temple. You're not going there. You go, you hear regularly. We should make the focus of our lives clearly Krishna consciousness. Very clearly. Everything else is subordinate to that. Even you have wife, family, children, business, this, that. You have to understand that my real business of life is to get free from birth and death and go to Krishna. And these other things, now I'm involved in that, I have to see to that. But all of that is meaningless unless we make Krishna very clearly the center of our lives. Then, anything else? Otherwise, we'll finish that. One more question. All right.
Hare Krishna. Like this, sir, that we should not associate with those who are too much attached to their tongue.
Too much attached to?
To the tongue.
To the tongue, yeah.
But you see that, like, even the devotees themselves, many times we see that devotees themselves, they are too much attached on their hands.
Devotees are too much attached to the tongue. Well, attachment to the tongue, the control of that begins by the vow to take only Krishna prasad. That means that even if we like nice food, which is not unusual, but we should vow only to take Krishna prasad. That's the beginning. That means we don't go outside purchasing different things. We'll only take that which, that's the beginning. And we shouldn't organize house programs with the aim of taking nice food in the house. That's also Maya. Then we can't benefit the people if we're coming to enjoy them, what they have to offer. So it's natural to like nice food. And Krishna, kindly, Krishna Bharadayamai Kari Bari Jiva Joy Shaprasadana Dilo Bhai. So Krishna is very, he's very kindly giving us that prasad. But we have to make some attempt also. First of all, the vow to take only prasad, nothing else. And then, even taking prasad, we should try to develop the consciousness that this is not meant for my enjoyment, it's meant to give nourishment to the body so that we can go on serving Krishna. But in the beginning stages, we may not emphasize so much. Control, don't eat too much. You take nice prasad, but take prasad only. But then after some time, we should consider that. Am I eating prasad or am I serving Krishna by honoring prasad? So that consciousness has to come at some point. Otherwise, it's very difficult to make advancement. Yeah, all right. You want to say something more?
Yes, ma'am. Some people say that we should not chew the tulsi leaf.
We shouldn't chew the tulsi leaf. But in Hari Bhakti Vilas, the word charvan is used in relation to tulsi pata, chewing. So, if you like, you can argue with Sanatana Goswami. It's a misconception that tulsi pata. Then you shouldn't chew any prasad. Just swallow it whole. It's not very practical, is it? If you don't chew, then you'll choke. All right, another question. All right, there could be thousands.
Sometimes what is done is like some prasadam is cooked in the morning, say rice and dal. So sometimes what happens is that cook wants to make khichdi and he uses the same rice which was offered to the Lord in the morning.
No, that's not very hygienic. Best whatever is cooked is served, finished. You can have no problem to finish here in this temple. There's always people. Otherwise, not very hygienic. Rice, you shouldn't keep it. It should be cooked, offered, served, finished. Only in Bengal at night, in the winter, they keep it overnight. Pantabhat. Otherwise, generally, you don't keep rice. Anyway, let's not get into a culinary discussion here. Let's finish. Otherwise, there's thousands of this kind of question. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.